becoming, it's an emotional issue rather than a practical issue for a lot of people. They don't look at the logistics. They look at it from an emotional standpoint, a connection to their hometown, whatever. How can, as someone who's gone through this, how do you overcome that?
Well, there's no way to overcome emotions, and that will be a part of the discussion all the way through. I think you simply hope that a large majority of people gain some new understanding, really appreciate St. Louis or Indianapolis, as the case may be, think about their children and their grandchildren in the future, note the competitive disadvantages of failing to be competitive in this world. And one of the ways to be competitive right now is to have a very strong urban fabric, a very strong local government that is able not only to be attractive to jobs and conventions and sports teams and tourists, but likewise really invigorates life itself and brings about greater public safety, for example, a greater appreciation of public education and cultural.
Sir, one of the things, you've obviously been through this, you've been there, you've seen it happen. In your mind, what's the biggest advantage to doing this? Why should it happen? What will it bring? And from what you've been through, what do you see here?
Indianapolis went through the UNIGOV experience because we really did have a desire for greatness, for a city that was well beyond anything we had ever seen before in terms of our imagination of what could occur. Now, not everybody shared that. Some people were perfectly satisfied with life as it was. But ultimately, a majority of people were very excited about being the best or vying to be the best. They really saw in life a degree of enthusiasm and adventure and expressed themselves by really reorganizing.
Does it make it more competitive, or what did it do for Indianapolis they think it would bring to St. Louis?
It made Indianapolis immediately more competitive, not only for business, but for sports teams, for cultural events, for people involved in travel and conventions. And it did bring about much greater efficiency. I was able to lower property taxes a majority of the 8 years that I served as mayor. That was very popular. And it happened because people invested in Indianapolis quickly, built new buildings. We started from zero hotels. Hotels sprung up. Office buildings sprung up. They could have happened 10 years before. It's the same city, same population. But now there really was a vitality as people thought about the future. And therefore, the tax base increased dramatically. Tax rates went down. And that became a very popular thought.
What's the biggest obstacle to getting this done? In your mind, what's the biggest obstacle?
Well, there were several demographic obstacles. First of all, many African-American citizens said, this is going to dilute our authority. As a matter of fact, if Indianapolis becomes much smaller, we may have a majority population. We may have a black mayor, a black councilman. We may simply be in charge. You know, don't take the bowl off the table, just as we're on the horizon of succeeding here. Others suggested that they really didn't like urban life that much. They were tired of the grime and the grit and the crime in the city, deliberately wanted to get away from all of this, to be jerked back into it. They felt was unconscionable. And they simply could not believe that services would improve, that new jobs would come, new opportunities. It really is a question of faith and belief as to what you think the future could bring and what you're prepared to invest in.
Now, you kind of mentioned in your speech that this wasn't done through a referendum. This was done through the state legislature. So would you advise against a referendum here in St. Louis if it happens? And if so, why is it not a good idea, and why wasn't it a good idea in the UNIGOV situation?
Well, I believe that the mayor had been elected, so had the Council of Indianapolis, so had all the state legislators. We'd already had democratic expression, and these people ought to have the ability to use their authority to make the changes that were vital. Now, I appreciated from the history of these things that opponents almost always say, no, we've got to have a referendum, because they always felt that there would be a lot of people with prejudices, misinformation, lack of interest in all of this, that those who had a positive idealism would be in the minority, and that people looking for their own vested interest would always be able to retain those. And in many cases, they've been right. Many communities in America have gone through one referendum after another. They've had good citizens, maybe each generation who come along who want reform, who have been shot down. I was not willing to see that occur, and this is why I moved as I did very rapidly to make sure the legislature that had the advantage of making these changes did so. And then we performed so that when the real referendum came, my reelection campaign, there was a very sizable majority, and that ended the issue.